podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don Neely view system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Anfield Index Minefield podcast. As always, I'm your host, Alan O'Donoghue, and this week I'm joined by Mr. Andrew Vincent. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm good. Gearing up for a lot of big games.
Yeah, we got some big ones coming up now, and we're going to dive into this now as we go along. I've had a number of people messaging me on social media going, what the hell has happened to you two with all these podcasts coming out? Like, you know, did you get like a bump in your wages or something? Like, what's going on? I was like, we do it.
Honestly, I think it might just be that I use Apple Calendar now. Like I am actually scheduling my time in some coherent way. So I think Al's been on top of it the whole time. I just need to get my act together and look what happens.
I'm not going to let you take the full blame, but look, here we are. We got another one going, which is great. And as we said, we are recording this on the 12th of May. So we are currently 3 points behind Man City and about 15,000 goals behind them now in the race for the league. We have the FA Cup final coming up this weekend. We have the Champions League in a few weeks. And today what we were thinking we would delve into is the mental challenges that can come with being in the position that we're in right now. So we have a lot to be excited for, Andrew, as fans. And as players, the squad has a lot to be excited for. I think we'll all agree that Klopp's rotation has been phenomenal, certainly from a sports science perspective. And from a mental perspective, it's probably been really, really good because everybody is feeling part of the group and that culture that we've spoken about in the past, which is so important to have everybody buy into. And the only way really people buy into it is by being involved in it. So from that perspective, it's been really, really good. But I do want to ask you about the Spurs draw, but not specifically the Spurs draw, but the impact of the Spurs draw and how that could deflate the squad in terms of the league, because with the way City are looking, they're exceptionally impressive in the league. They are an absolute juggernaut. They are flying, and you know, we'll take our hats off to them. They've had injuries over the last couple of weeks and they're still maintaining that juggernaut, right? And while most fans would agree that the league was probably the most difficult for us to actually win and actually get success in, we still all hoped, we still all believed, and I'm sure the players did as well with the way they were playing. So talk to me first about the potential impact that draw could have on the players, but then do you think that there's a chance that there could be a knock-on impact coming into the two cup finals that we have coming up, and how you might counteract that if you were working with the squad?
You know, I think of course the draw changes things, right? Because it changes the equation. It also just sort of changes, like, they were winning every game. We were winning every game. We needed one slip from them. Now we need a bigger slip from them. Now it's like we slipped. They didn't slip. Not only are they not slipping, they're just burying people. Like, you know, I can convince myself every game City has that, oh, maybe this is the game where the team they're playing against is going to, like, put together. Like, I can imagine Burnley winning here. Or, like, I can imagine, like, oh, this will be the game where Wolves really pull it together. And like, then it's just disappointing. Because, you know. But, and so I was thinking about this a couple months ago when people first started talking about the quadruple. Because for a while, Man City have won the League Cup, whatever it's called, the Carabao Cup, and whatever its previous like iterations were. Although I guess it, really they've just been winning it since it's the Carabao Cup. So it's the Carabao Cup, and they win. And as soon as they win, like it's at a time of the year when usually like you're still in Champions League. There's mathematically a possibility of a league, and probably you're still in the FA Cup. So as soon as you win the Carabao Cup, like if you're not like a really surprised winner, there's going to be talk of the quadruple. And there's a time every year that happens sometime in like early April, or there has been historically over the past few years, where they drop out of Champions League or they do whatever. And it goes from like, okay, they're a quadruple winning team or a team that has a real chance of winning the quadruple to like, oh shoot, it's really disappointing. They're just going to win the Carabao Cup in the league this year. And it makes their season for a brief moment seem like a failure. And it makes them seem for a brief moment like a team that's falling apart. And they're not. It's just, it's really hard to win all of those things. And it was way too early to be talking about that to begin with. Now we're in a different situation because like we're, you know, we've got one game left in Champions League. We've got one game left in the FA Cup. And really, you know, with just a couple games left here in the league, there's still a total possibility where we can win. So like it's mid-May now and we're in this situation where we're still talking about the quadruple and that's incredible, but it doesn't change this sort of landslide effect where if we lose Saturday, and we've dropped a game against Tottenham, our season goes from being, this is the best team we've ever had, to we might only win the League Cup. And that's a huge drop in terms of how people on the fan side see it. And so, like, you know, obviously from the psychological side, like we talk all the time about being process-oriented and how important it is to be process-oriented. And it gets harder and harder to be process-oriented and not be focused on outcomes the closer you get to those big games. And so it's easy to be process-oriented in the middle of the season, or easier to be process-oriented in the middle of the season, because even if you're on top of the league, you know, well, we've got a full half of the year left. We got 19 games left or whatever. Like, it's easier to be process-oriented in the FA Cup when you've got three more games before the final. But of course, like, the closer you get to the end, the more you start thinking about what would it be like to win. And each time you lose those, it changes the way you evaluate yourself. And that part of a process focus is about evaluating yourself on that process, and rather than evaluating yourself on that outcome. Like, self-evaluation is actually a really important piece. Like, I end up working with a lot of players on, is because like it's a huge, it plays such a huge role in that outcome versus process focus, is how do you engage in self-evaluation and what are the things you evaluate yourself on. And so we've created this standard of the quadruple. It's sort of how we're going to evaluate ourselves at the end of this year. How many of those trophies did we win? And maybe we've already lost one by dropping points against Tottenham, or it feels a little further away. And so definitely that can create a knock-on effect. And like, I'm not saying it has, you know, like it's not, I don't know what's going on in the group well enough to say, but like there's certainly something that can happen where our self-evaluation is going to be skewed by the possibility of this quadruple, and that's going to impact the extent to which we can be process-oriented in a way that would generate success.
Yeah, and I think maybe I was viewing it through a challenging lens on Wednesday. No, Tuesday, when we played Aston Villa. Because to me, there seemed to be a definite dip. And I didn't look at it from the perspective of this is a, there seems to be a dip because of the result against Spurs. But I think this has been coming for a number of weeks, where we seem to be not flowing as well. And part of it could be this rotation. I would wonder if Jota is someone who is finding it difficult to get into a flow state because he's in and out because of this rotation. So that could be that. That's just an observation that I have, and may or may not be true. And some of the other players look like they may be struggling with working as a cohesive unit because you're with somebody different every moment. And do you think that there is a potential downside to the wonderful job Klopp and the team of the squad have done with managing the physical elements of rotation? Could there be a negative knock-on effect to the mental impact from that rotation as well, do you think?
There certainly could be. I mean, like, you know, of course, in a perfect world, you're going to get in a really nice rhythm where you have one or two games a week, but you can play those games because everyone's got plenty of, like, gas in the tank, and you're playing with the same players, you're doing the same things, like, you're feeling fully recovered, and it just keeps rolling. Like, there's nothing additional to think about. You know, that's where flow state comes from to a certain extent, is like, you know, getting in a certain kind of rhythm and not having to feel like you're adapting. You know, I think this team plays the same way or tries to play the same way really consistently. And so that should help, just, you know, regardless of who's in, like, your role is more or less the same. Your responsibilities are more or less the same. What you can focus on is more or less the same. You know, so that should insulate against that a little bit. But, I mean, it's also just, it's the end of the season. It's been a really long road. We've played every game that we could possibly play. You know, we've had a lot of players, especially players who are in AFCON, who had, like, a huge load in the middle of the season, too. Other players who had World Cup qualifying. And, you know, it's been a really busy year. And so, like, I think the fatigue of that can certainly start to tell mentally. And then you also just naturally, different players peak, like, have better moments throughout the season. Like, it's just, you know, it's important to look at the big numbers, you know, and look at the big picture. Like, under pressure, like, they talk about sample sizes all the time, right? And so, you know, like, Mo Salah has had a really great season. If you look across the course of the whole season, even if he doesn't do anything good for the next few games, like, his numbers have been really impressive. Arguably, he's been the best player in the league. But his last 5-10 games haven't been great. 5-6-7-8 games. I don't know exactly how long. And so, like, you know, that's happening at an unfortunate time because we're at the business end. But, like, if you're looking at it in the big picture, he's had a good year. And so, you know, like, as a team, we've had a good year. If we're having a couple tough games, like, so that's part of having a good year. Often is like, what do you do when things feel a little less cohesive or hit this trough? So, like, I hear what you're saying about, like, is there, like, a lull here, and is that lull because people have been in and out, and is it because of the rotation? And it's like, it's really hard to say. It's just this a naturally occurring thing. Like, this is going to happen no matter what, and this is just our time, and it's at a really bad time.
Yeah.
Is it in relation to the Tottenham game and a knock-on effect of, like, this, you know, the quadruple being there and that creating some unhelpful pressure or some unhelpful changes to our process and evaluation? I don't know. Like, there's a lot of different things that can play into it. But yeah, that's my sort of non-answer to your your question. Is, like, could be. Like, certainly could be.
Yeah, but it might not. And if, like, if we're looking at the squad, and geez, this chair is very squeaky. If we're looking at the squad, and if there is a bit of a lull or a disappointment now because of, you know, things are a little bit more difficult in terms of City not looking like they're going to lose anything, and, you know, the goal difference, they've reversed a massive goal difference that was in our favour and it's now gone in their favour. Do you think the players will it be challenging for the players to lift themselves up for the FA Cup and the Champions League with that disappointment of the league because of the league being such a difficult thing for us in the last 30 years to get our hands on. And I don't think it's an accident that Pep was talking about the fact that how, you know, we've only won one in 30 years. So, you know, yeah, they haven't been good in the Premier League, basically. You know, that's not all by accident, but Pep saying that. And let's forget about Pep. But what do you think about the Liverpool players? What would you be doing to get them to be mentally prepared for these two finals, if anything?
I think the big thing that I would want to focus on with the group is just like back to a real process focus and like back to like just connecting with your roles and your things and like what are the things you need to be doing in games and how do you keep the games really simple so you can be aggressive in executing your role. And that's, it's about attacking each game and attacking each situation and knowing what you're good at and using what you're good at to attack like each game and each moment in the game that opens itself to that situation. And like mentally what that like requires is like a real present moment focus and, you know, real solid belief in your own abilities and focus on your own abilities and not letting the circumstances around shift your process. Like, and you know, process has become such a cliche. So to like boil that down to what I mean, like, let's pick a player. Let's pick Trent because I think I understand his role the best. So I think I can speak most meaningfully about what he's supposed to be doing. If I were working with like Trent in particular, like part of what we'd be doing is we'd be looking at his skill set, you know, looking at what he's good at. We'd be talking about kind of like his traits as a person too, and looking at like the player you want to be, how do you combine who you are as a person and like how you see the world, how you see the game with the skill set you have as a player, which is this really nice range of passing, this aggression, this, these certain aspects. How do you combine those things to define your identity and define your role really clearly? Like identity isn't just because it knows, you know who you are. Identity is also because it like creates a really practical blueprint for what you need to be looking for in the game. Identity shapes attention and awareness is all of execution is about awareness. You can only do what you're aware of. So, you know, let's say his role, which maybe I'm going to be totally wrong about it. Let's say what we come up with is like, obviously he's looking for moments to play a cross, but not just any kind of cross. Like we have to define really clearly, like, what are his key moments where this kind of cross is going to be useful? What are his key moments to cut in field? And so like, maybe we'll just define two or three key moments that are going to pop up once or twice a game. You know, like that's the reality of a game like soccer, a sport like soccer or football even. The reality of it is like, you might only get five chances to affect a game in a meaningful way. And then the other 90% of the game is just not messing up, you know, and like when you put it that way, it's about taking advantage of your five moments and like making a difference in those five moments. And if you affect the game positively five times, like in a difference making way, that's a really good game. That's a huge impact. And so that's sort of what it's about. And it's about not letting, you know, you can get into an FA Cup final and be like, hey, we need to win this. Or you can get into a game where it's like, hey, we have to reverse a goal differential. And now instead of being patient for my five moments, I'm going to force 15 moments. And now all of a sudden, like some of those weren't appropriate times at all. So my process has shifted because of the pressure that's now on my shoulders. And so it's about being really clear about your process, being really clear about your moments and not letting outside circumstances and outside pressure affect what you're attending to moment by moment in the game, maintaining patience when you need to be patient and maintaining aggression when you need to be aggressive. And so that's what I would be focused on is just like, if I had to make it super practical, which I rarely do in our conversations, but we'll go for it. Like the kind of exercise that I might do is like have each player go away, sit down, write down their two key moments or the two things they really need to focus on. Like, what are the situations they need to attack for the next game? and then like bring those back and have them talk about it as a team, have them talk about it with the coaches, see if the coaches are on the same page, see if they can point to those situations. But really it's about simplifying right now and solidifying, and being really disciplined about not chasing.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's what I would do. And then, you know, you just, here's the thing that most people listening aren't going to like to hear. If we walk away from this season only having won the League Cup, it's been an incredible season.
Agreed.
And that's what having a process focus means. Is like, you might not get what you want, but we have been incredibly consistent and incredibly like good at executing our game plan and disciplined in executing our game plan over the course of what I think will be something like 65 games. And like, that's a massive achievement. And continuing to do that and rewarding yourself for being that good at your process is how you develop consistency and success in the long term. But it'll be massively disappointing, and we will have done a really good job. And those are really hard things to hold at the same time.
Yeah. But I suppose that's, you know, that's the difference between fan mentality and coach and player mentality, is that while the coaches and the players will be disappointed, they can point to the goals that they set out at the start of the season and the process goals, not just the outcome goals, but the process goals. And they're building beyond just a 9-month season. They're building on for something bigger and longer term. So, you know, I think they will definitely see it as a success, a disappointment, but a success as well. As in, not the season being disappointment, but the outcome not going the way they want, which is disappointing, mm-hmm. but the season being an absolute success. So I think you're absolutely spot on. And it's interesting, you know, obviously I'm in the WhatsApp groups with the Liverpool fans, and they were watching the Chelsea match, and, you know, oh, Kovacic could be out and Kante could be out, and that's going to be great for us. And I think that symbolises the noise that goes on around these finals, that I'm wondering, or I'm thinking, is this the kind of noise that you think needs to play, the players need to shut out and kind of go, it actually doesn't matter who we're playing. Obviously, it matters in terms of tactically it matters, but we don't need to even think about who's playing or not playing. We just have to go and go through our process and trust our process and actually just play our game the way we will be setting out to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, I think spending the time leading up to the game, looking at the starting lineup and thinking about what does this mean for our chances of winning is absolute. Like, that is by definition outcome focused. As fans, we can do that because we don't need to be process focused because we have no process other than to watch and cheer, you know, and like that's fine. That's our process. And so as players, though, if you start to be too focused on, you know, who are we playing against and what does that mean about the likelihood of our outcome, now you're just sort of focused on the outcome. And so, like, I think, you know, maybe people who played a sport when they were younger will have had the experience of, like, you get yourself in this situation where maybe you were playing a team that you had never played before, but, like, you played a team that played them and that team beat them and you beat that team. So it's like, we should be able to beat this team. And you're doing all this math in your head. And basically what you're trying to decide is, like, how easy is this game? Easy or hard is this game going to be? And, like, that right there is an absolute distraction, because you should know your role going in. Of course, you're right. Like, tactically, it makes a difference, but tactically, it makes a difference moment to moment in the game. So, you know, if who else is in Chelsea's midfield? If Kovacic isn't going to be that, okay. So, like, if Jorginho is playing, right? So, like, if Jorginho is playing, like, maybe you understand some of his tendencies, and maybe you know, like, this is going to give me certain moments that I'm more likely to be able to attack. This is going to give me a situation, like, because Jorginho is here and not Kovacic, like, there's a chance that this opening might occur, and I need to be aware of that, because if that pops up, I need to attack that situation. That's absolutely worth your time. That's a process-focused thing. That's about being prepared. That situation might never come up, you know, but like, you haven't wasted energy mentally preparing for the possibility of that situation. If it does come up and you attack it and it changes the game, like, that's a good use of your time. But deciding, oh, cool, like, Jorginho is going to be there, so we're more likely to win, like, that's, now you're not being as aggressive. Like, Chelsea haven't been as good as they were when we were playing them in the League Cup. Like, at the time, like, you know, they've had a little bit of a let off. Like, they don't seem quite as intimidating as everyone thought they were going to be at the start of the season. Like, that kind of thing is a mental challenge to the extent that it undermines how aggressively you're prepared to attack your moments. And sometimes if you assume a game is going to be easy, what changes is you're not as focused on attacking certain moments aggressively.
Okay. So it is about reminding players to just strip things back and just do what you do well, and be aware that the moments that those 5, 4, 3, 2, 10 moments that you can use your skill set to the best of your ability will present themselves, and to be ready for those moments as best as you can be in the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Which makes it all really boring to some extent, right? Like, it's like, it's not as glorious as go be a winner and go take the game by the scruff of the neck and make everything happen and, you know, dominate this game with your spirit, you know? Like, it's less glorious than that. And that's not to say that, like, there won't be moments of brilliance or moments of, like, character or whatever. But it's about being patient and disciplined around your aggression with those, and targeted in your aggression.
Yeah, but I think I've mentioned it before, like, maybe it's just me, but I don't see myself as a particularly academic person. I don't enjoy academic content. You know, I don't want to know, you know, all the weeds about things or big words and what they mean. But in the work that I do, right, the simplest techniques always turn out to be the most effective with the people that I work with, because they are simple and easy to digest and understand. And it doesn't take thought process. Sorry, it does take thought process, mm-hmm. but it doesn't take up so much thought process to try and understand it in order to implement mm-hmm. it. I can just understand it easily and implement it, boom, boom. And it is amazing how powerful those elements are. And that's the way it needs to be. And it's nothing to do with the intelligence levels of players or individuals or anything. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with the message has to be simple, easily knit into the fabric of how you do what you do in order for it to become automatic. And that's when you can be the most effective that you can be.
Which makes it more challenging. Again, a really sort of in a weird way, the fact that it's so easy, the fact that it's so straightforward, the fact that, like, it's pretty automatic is actually what makes it challenging to stay so focused on it. Because sometimes it's harder for us to pay close attention to something that's sort of natural and easy than it is for us to get really engaged with something that's complicated. Your comment about not liking academic things has me wondering how we've spent so much time talking to each other without you. Maybe you just turn off your volume every time I start talking, but it doesn't seem like that. But yeah, like, I think Pep Guardiola is a really good example of, like, getting to finals and totally changing his process and coming up with some sort of crazy scheme. And, like, you know, like, that's problematic. Like, that's how you get yourself in trouble. And that's because it's hard to just stick to your process and say, let's keep doing what you're doing well. And it's easy sometimes when faced with a challenge to say, hey, let's come up with this whole new plan. How are we going to do this? Like, this is totally different. Like, this is going to help us in this game. And so, yeah, I think it's such an important point is complicating things at this stage typically isn't a sign of mental strength or it's often a sign of bad discipline. Mm. But, like, discipline's a complicated thing. It takes so much energy, like, to just stay the course.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I literally have just come off a call with a client, and we've just had a very similar conversation around he's made a lot of changes in his life, into how he lives and how he works, and he's seeing the fruits of that work that we've been doing. But he said, it's so tiring at times having to do things differently. He said, I am exhausted because I'm trying to do things differently. And not to get into the, you know, the weeds of you know, the work that we've been doing, but essentially what happens is, from my understanding anyway, is that when we grow up, we shape our view of the world around us based on our parents, our interactions with other people, our interactions with friends, relatives, teachers, coaches, whoever, right? And they, because we're only children and we're forming our opinions on how to live and survive in this world, we grow up and we take on these beliefs and they stick with us. And some of them will be not very useful in the long term. And what happens is it molds us into a particular shape, right? And we carry on through life in this particular shape. And then we realize that, okay, some of these beliefs are not useful for me now and actually make me feel uncomfortable. So it's why a lot of people experience anxiety and, you know, struggles with dealing with their mental health, because the belief system they've taken on from as a child is no longer useful to them. And then what we do is, essentially with the work that I do with clients, is we remold them into where they were when they were born and how things would be. And that can take a lot of work, but it can also physically feel uncomfortable because you're so used to being a certain way and reacting a certain way and doing things a certain way that when you start to change it, you have to think about it and actually consciously make the effort to not just go to a default that you've been for a number of years. And that can cause challenges for the people around you, because you may not do what you normally would do, and they can be disappointed, annoyed, frustrated, angry, whatever, or delighted with that change. But our conversation today was very much around that you're just remolding, and it can take a bit of time for that to become your new way of being on a regular basis. And I think with Pep, we have seen the impact of that. And if you look at City's league matches over the last few weeks, they've played the exact same way as they normally do. And it's working exceptionally well. We, I think, have been so consistent because we have played pretty much the exact same way all season, with the odd exception here and there, you know, break glass moment, bring on an extra striker. That has worked sometimes and hasn't worked sometimes, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. That consistency and that allows our players to be in flow. And I think until Pep realizes that you don't change what's working really well because you are one of the two best teams in the world probably right now, then I don't think he's going to win the league with that Manchester City team. And that's not what we're here to talk about. But I do think it highlights what you're saying about Klopp just needs to sit down with the team and the squad and just go, lads, we just keep going the way we're going. We keep doing what we're doing. The process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like now is not the time to be more than you are. And I think it's like you're molding a shape and staying in that shape. Like, I think that it's so important, like, to be mindful on both sides. And so, like, to fit into this real process focus and have that real process focus might require, like you talked about, some changes and, like, some changes in the way you think, some changes in the way you react to situations. And, like, that requires some conscious effort to get into that spot in the first place. But then, you know, like, maintaining those patterns and not falling back into your old shape is important. But also, like, in the same vein, sometimes, like, in a pressure situation, like, kind of the Pep Guardiola thing is, like, not trying to take on a whole new shape in that moment is also important. And so it's like you've got kind of these pitfalls you can fall into in either direction of sometimes stress makes us fall into old patterns and fall into old habits. Sometimes pressure pushes us to jump into and try to be something totally different and try to be something maybe that doesn't play to our strengths and that we're not, or whatever. And so, like, both of those are going to take away from this process focus, or it's going to change your process and that's going to affect your ability to execute. And so absolutely, like, sitting down and just saying, hey, here's your things. I think Mo Salah could benefit from that a ton right now, because I think, like, there's so many facets to his game, which he's done such a nice job developing, that, like, I think when he struggles, it feels to me like he's got too many moments he's trying to attack and too many situations he's trying to create, rather than picking one thing that's going to happen two or three times a game and go after that really aggressively. If I were working with him, I would say, look, like, just look for that moment, drive in on your left foot and unleash a shot. You might only get two or three of them, but like, be mindful of it. The thing is, like, the rest of the game is still going to happen. And if you have a really good situation to take someone on one-on-one, you're not going to miss it just because you've got this other focus on your key moments. Like, it's not like you have to pause the rest of the game or give up the rest of the game, but to pay attention to everything is to pay attention to nothing. Yeah. And so, like, having some defined moments just becomes so important, and those have to be simple.
I think that's why, you know, if we look at Klopp's tenure with the club, we have seen players not just come straight into the starting lineup, with a couple of odd exceptions, because he needs players to recompose or remodel themselves into what he needs them to be. And some people, like, you know, we look at Virgil van Dijk, he came straight in and everything's been fine. Andy Robertson, Fabinho, even Tsimikas, they've took a bit longer to come in and become regulars, but that's okay, because they obviously just needed that little bit more time to be able to come in and adapt to what they were what was needed of them for the process, for it to be able to work as well and effectively as possible. But we see the long-term benefit of that. And I think, you know, and again, not to harp back to City, but I think that's part of the problem with Grealish, is that, you know, with the price tag, with everything, there was an expectation that we'd come in and he would be one of the best players in the league and one of the best players in the world. But he hasn't found that rhythm yet. He hasn't found that, for whatever reason. And I'm hopeful that the exact same thing will happen with Haaland next season.
I'm hopeful too. I don't know. I think, you know, to some extent, like, Pep's teams play a really specific way. And yeah, like, it's, you know, we talked about shapes and people and, like, you know, fitting into a certain mold. And it's always an interaction between the individual and the environment. And so, like, you know, sometimes if I'm working with people and talking about individuals and then groups and, like, how relationships go, and especially when you're making change, like I encourage people to think about puzzles and how puzzles fit together. And, like, I don't actually know about how puzzles are made, but, like, I'm pretty sure that, like, you start with the big picture and then you take your little jigsaw or whatever and you cut out, whatever. They cut out each piece. But what that means is that, like, they don't manufacture each piece individually and then the puzzle happens to fit together. The way I'm shaped is directly related to how the piece next to me is shaped. I'm shaped in relation to that piece. So, you know, in groups of people, if I'm going to change and we're still going to fit together, the other person next to me needs to change too. And so, like, you know, often this is a really important part of, like, therapeutic sorts of changes too. It's not, you know, if I'm going to make changes and I want to take on a new shape, the people around me need to recognize that and be able to adjust to that and support that and make their own changes usually in order for that to be sustainable. And that's true in teams as well, is that, you know, like, everyone has their role, and the way this person plays should be defined in part by how this other person plays. And so, like, you know, in this case, like, you've got this pre-existing puzzle and you're buying this new person. You're like, shit, like, we got to make sure this piece fits in somewhere. And of course, that's going to take time or not, depending on how this person shows up. But then it also just reinforces, like, we're talking about avoiding those situations where stress either causes you to revert to old patterns and thus lose your shape, or try something new and try to really, like, take on the world and change your shape in that way. And you know, you've got this group of 11 people and each with their individual psychologies and their individual reactions to things. And, like, you have to be really mindful of, like, if I chase the game, it doesn't just affect me. Like, it's also going to affect the people around us. And I think, you know, the other thing that becomes really important about it too, and, like, shifting, keeping the puzzle metaphor, but shifting the dynamic of it a little bit, the same way the way we're shaped affects how we fit in with people around us. Like, in a sporting context, like, it also, like, that shape and that identity gives us a sense of when we should attack the game and, like, when we should approach the game. So it's not just about, like, how do I change myself? How do I change my shape to impact this game? It's really about being very mindful. Where are the places where I fit in? And how do I connect there? And there will be these natural moments. If you're attending to the game and you're an effective player, which everyone on our team is, like, there will be moments, and being patient for those and connecting with those when they come up is about just trusting the shape that you have. And so it's, yeah, all of that is going on.
Yeah, and I think the perfect example of that not working is Manchester United. You know, you bring in Ronaldo, and, like, all the United fans I know will say, just build a team around him. Well, you've been building a team or a squad for a couple of years, and then you plunk this anomaly in, and it's like, well, everyone should be able to facilitate him. And what happens if he's not in the team? What happens if he's gone in a year? So, you know, it's just, it's that thing of oversimplifying things when it's actually quite a complex process.
And I suppose, like, if you've just bought a really expensive puzzle piece that does not fit into your puzzle, one solution is to start an entirely new puzzle. Like, that's fair, but, like, probably inefficient, at least financially and, like, football-wise has been fun.
Yeah. Which we discussed last week.
Yeah.
It seems like you've got quite a clear picture in your head of, you know, how the club can get the players to respond to the disappointment, potential disappointment that could be there after, you know, doing so well and pushing so hard in the league and probably not, you know, winning it, but being able to just take the two finals as individual matches that will be just a continuation of the process that we've been working towards with it, right? Let's just go and play our game and not try and do things differently. And that hopefully will give us the best chance of success, of a positive outcome, but we've been successful anyway.
Right. And I think it's that combination, like, of everyone wants to win trophies. So allow that to get you excited. Allow that to make you, like, it's okay to be in that moment. It's a high pressure moment, and, like, ignoring, like, pretending it's just every other game, like, it takes energy to pretend. So acknowledging this is a big game, but that doesn't change my process. And, like, putting that extra energy and putting that extra excitement into being more focused on keeping your game simple and attacking your moments. That's sort of the key there. And then on the disappointment side, you know, it's about not allowing the fear of that disappointment to shape you and to change the way you evaluate yourself. And, like, in some ways you have to be so committed to your process that you recognize that if you have stayed disciplined and attacked your moments well and you lose, that's okay. And if you can't accept that, then the allure of changing your process to try to take on a certain moment will be too great.
Okay.
And I mean, sometimes that works too. Sometimes you can make a change and it works, but often it doesn't. So, like, it's a, you know, who knows? But that's my little caveat to all of this. So I might be right, but who knows?
Basically what's happening is we're winning the FA Cup and we're winning the Champions League. And if we win the league, we win the league. And if we don't, we don't. But winning the other two. That's what you're saying, Andrew.
That's what I would still love to win the quadruple. I just love the idea of Danny Ings, Felipe Coutinho, and Steven Gerrard undoing City on the final day. Like, it's just, that idea is really just lovely to me. But, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with hoping. And from a fan's perspective, there's nothing wrong with hoping. And, like, you know, the same way I hope it can't creep into how the team is evaluating themselves and evaluating their process is, like, whether or not, you know, unless they do badly process wise and they play badly and then lose, then by all means evaluate yourself harshly. But, you know, if this is ultimately one of the best teams that we've ever seen, that's true, whether or not we win everything. It just might be the best team that no one remembers, and that would be unfortunate, but not less impressive.
Yeah. So the hope won't kill you.
It might.
No,
it won't. You just have to. It might. It, Yes, it will. And you need to be open to that. Like, you need to be okay with that and do what you do anyways.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for that, Andrew. All right, listeners, on that note that the hope will kill you, we apologize to all of you and hope you
be hopeful and it will kill you. But like, it's Kierkegaard's Man of Faith, which is getting maybe too academic over here for Al. Yeah. So I'll be quiet about it.
I'm going to pull the plug right now just for that. You can tell us about that next time. Andrew, thanks so much for your insight. We really appreciate it. And as always, listeners, if you are on the free side, want to jump in for the couple of quid a month that it costs to be subscribers, you get tons of fantastic content. And myself and Andrew will be back again very soon with another Mindfield podcast. Look after yourselves.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.